Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Shad and I are chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of the Hedgeless Horseman website. I will post a link below this interview to Eric's site. Now, Eric, look, there's no doubt that the metals, precious metals sector and the stocks continue to be under pressure. Yeah, we're getting a bounce today, but we are coming up to, well, the end of the month and end of the quarter at the end of trading today. And unfortunately, we are still in kind of a breakdown scenario, especially for something like GDX that still needs to recover a bit of ground to get back into, well, not being in a breakdown scenario. So the best time, I think, for a market when you're focused on a market that continues to trend down is looking at individual stocks. You follow a lot of stocks. I know you invest in a lot of different resource stocks. So I'm going to open up the floor to you. Feel free to share some of the companies that you think are doing the good work right now and that investors should be watching out for. We'll bounce some questions off you on the back end. But Eric, start us off. What companies have your attention right now?
Well, one I've been adding in recently is District Metals, ticker DMX.B, which is a Canadian listed company, obviously, but it has a focus on Sweden and has acquired, I think, two additional properties over the last couple of months. And they've been drilling their flagship project also, and they haven't really put out any barn burners or so, but they've shown that, yes, this, you know, system has legs, and it was actually, you know, scheduled to be put into production way back when. So there's a historic resource, et cetera, and obviously a tier one jurisdiction. And it has come down about, I don't know, 60% or something from the top. And that's, you know, after adding two additional properties to their portfolio. So I think it's just, you know, one of those cases where value diverges to the upside and, you know, price just continues to trend down. And I'm actually going to go on a site visit next week and look at the properties. And at 16 million market cap with 4 million in cash, I mean, it's a $12 million enterprise, and you get, you know, great management. And again, three properties. One is very de-risked and the two others are semi-de-risked. I just think it's basically a steal.
So, Eric, in full disclosure, I do hold shares in District Metals, and yeah, unfortunately, I wrote it up and now have been riding it lower as the stock has corrected, kind of in line with the market, unfortunately. In your eyes, though, what's going to be the catalyst here? I know that they have, they have been releasing drill holes, but now it's all about following up on some of these areas that showed some good mineralization, but I don't believe that that program is underway quite yet. That should be starting up next month. What in your eyes is going to be the catalyst here for District Metals outside of just a market turnaround?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, honestly, it's just the sentiment alone should push it quite a bit higher, I think. As you
but
said,
shouldn't we be looking at company specifics here rather than just trying to play a market turn? I want to know what do you like about the company that makes it stand out? Should make it outperform even when the market turns?
No, I mean, that's also the thing. It's like we've seen recently. I mean, many companies have put out good news. They just don't get rewarded for it. So it's like you can't really bank on, even if a company does good progress, unless the sentiment is good enough to actually revalue the company, there's nothing you can do. So, I mean, that's one of the problems, but that's why I like the companies that have actually, you know, have done great work, et cetera, or adding value, because one day that's going to, you know, be reflected in the share price. It's just now with sentiment, you know, at 2015 levels, nothing almost gets rewarded. But anyway, back to your point, as you said, I mean, they should continue to be drilling at Tomtebo. And the thing I think the market is kind of missing is I did an article on District Metals some months ago where I just, you know, described how good the Garpenberg mine is, which belongs to Boliden, I think. And that's us in Bergslagen. It's a similar deposit type, basically. And they have, you know, pretty much rock bottom costs. I think it's one of the highest quality polymetallic mines of its kind, basically. So even though, let's say, the, you know, it's not bonanza grades they've been hitting at Tomtebo, I still think that, I mean, if you can draw any conclusions from the Garpenberg mine, it's that mining here could be unusually high margin, you know, as fixed grade, let's say. So I think the market is underestimating the value of the rock that District Metals is hitting. And the question is, okay, when is the market going to care? I really have no idea, because you can't really justify this price in sliding price, given that they've been adding properties and show that the system continues. But the, because of the sentiment, it's been cut by 60%. So I just want them to continue doing what they do. Let Garrett do his thing. And one day the sentiment will change, and I think it will get reflected. And who knows, maybe they'll start grilling some of the other two produce one of these days. And I think one belonged to Boliden or something. So they're probably, I mean, they're not worthless, let's just put it like that. But obviously, with the price at basically 52 weeks low, it's not been reflected at all.
All right, well then, Eric, moving on from District Metals. Again, I still do like the work that's going on, but again, I think we need to be focused on the company doing the right work so that they can outperform, I guess, when we're just waiting for a market turn. What other companies have your attention here, Eric?
Well, I really like Rookmaster Resources, ticker RKR.we. It's also a Canadian listed. They have a project in Canada. It's an underground project, and I think the current resource is around 2 million ounces AU equivalent, and they've been drilling a lot, and they've been hitting a lot. It seems to be a very predictable system, so they have a very high hit rate. So I think they have one of the, you know, let's say highest ROI in terms of, you know, drill meters, let's say, because it's quite, you know, good grade, pretty good widths. And they now basically, they are now drilling to look for the blue sky scenario, because there's a trend that's, I think, what is it, 6 to 7 kilometers or something of, you know, smoke on at the surface. So I think that could really be a monster. The only thing I think that is, you know, hampering the valuation, let's say, is that, A, I mean, they're going to need to raise money one of these days, and that it will cost them $44 million over, I think, 4 or 5 years for the option payment. But, I mean, if you look at what the value they have and what the potential value could be in the future, I think it's one of the, best risk-reward plays out there. And if you look at the insider filings, I mean, CEO, et cetera, they're buying like crazy. And I've simply been joining them because I think this can become one of the biggest underground semi-permitted, I think. I mean, they have underground workings, et cetera. And I just think you get a crap ton of value at this market cap. And I have no idea how I'm not going to, let's say, profit on this one.
Well, Eric, there's no doubt that, you know, they're not alone. There's a lot of companies that have pulled back over the last year that are in the exploration business. And all it takes is one great discovery hole above and beyond what they've had. You know, there's a lot of companies doing good work, but if somebody puts out an amazing drill result, it can move. But you brought up an interesting point there about buying when the management is buying. Is that a criteria you look for? Because it's typically a great sign if you see the management buying in the open market, even in depressed prices, because it means that their confidence is there. Is that something that you look for when you're filtering through your portfolio of companies?
Well, I mean, it sure is a good sign, obviously, because they know more than me, know more about geology, the project, their expectations of the, you know, future in terms of intrinsic value. And especially since these guys, they have a very high insider ownership already. So, I mean, it's not like they don't have a lot of skin in the game, but when they're adding, I mean, one could say that's a bit greedy, but that's obviously a good sign for an outsider like myself. Okay, if they already have, you know, big exposure to their own story and they're piling in like this, I mean, you don't do that for no reason at all, obviously. I mean, sure, some might. I mean, you see some SEDI filings where someone is buying like $200 worth of stock, and that just looks to be, you know, more promotional than anything. But I mean, these guys are, you know, buying 20,000, 40,000, et cetera. So it's not a requirement or anything, but okay, who am I to say that these guys are wrong? And to me, I mean, it fits, because I do think, I mean, on paper, I think your project is worth like, I don't know, $500 million or whatever right now. So, I mean, on paper, you're getting it for less than 10%, and that's before the new resource and before a new PA, etc. So, I mean, it looks like a no-brainer to me, and the way insiders are buying, they're basically telling the market, yes, it's a no-brainer.
One thing that I just would want to say, when you are looking at insider buying, it's important to understand market depth too, because sometimes, and this is not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes when insiders are buying, they're really setting the floor on the stock price because, well, there aren't a whole lot of other buyers out there. So sometimes I always like to say, make sure you see the market depth and understand that it's good that insiders are buying, but you always want other people buying too. That's what makes a market, and it's just not the insiders that need to be holding this type of stuff. Eric, is there any certain broad strategy or certain sector of companies that you really like right here that you think have been sold off more than the rest of the sector? Because in all fairness, the whole sector has come back.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the COVID crash last year, we saw everything go down. I mean, GDX, GDXJ, etc. So that was a cascade sell-off in everything. But if you look at GDX now, for example, I mean, it's not like that's near 2015 lows, etc. So, I mean, I'm not interested at all in the mature miners, let's say, because I don't really see the alpha, because they're obviously will have a hard time growing if you're at 40 billion market cap, etc. And you don't, I mean, we simply don't have many tier one discoveries around. So, I mean, for them to grow and deliver alpha, they would pretty much need to cut costs or buy something in order to grow. So that's not appealing to me at all. But the juniors, on the other hand, I mean, they have dislocated completely from the major producers and mid tiers, etc. So I'm 100% into the junior miners, because I think the price to value proposition across the board in the juniors is the best I have ever seen. Because, okay, in absolute terms, yes, they were cheaper in 2015, but gold was at $1,100, and most of the companies were near bankrupt or had very little cash. Some weren't able to even do any work, so they didn't even create any value over a period of time as price was falling. But right now, many juniors are actually quite cashed up, at least the ones I own. And they've actually increased their value over the last year when price has gone down. So, I mean, again, it's like the value to price divergence. It's not just price going down and value staying put. They've actually increased value, many of them, and the price has gone down. So it's like an exponential curve in terms of opportunity. And that's what I see in the juniors. And I don't see the same thing in, like, you know, the barracks, etc.
Okay, so you did clarify that. You're in juniors that haven't gone up in price, but you think they've increased their value. I was going to ask you which juniors you were following that had bucked this trend for pretty much this whole year. But thanks for clarifying that, Eric. We're going to wrap it up here. Look, hopefully we get a turn in this sector, and hopefully that brings in more investors. It naturally will as price rises, but boy, oh boy, we need to find a bottom here. And this last month, it's been pretty painful for the resource investors. Eric, thanks again for your time. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Same. Fingers crossed.